1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we all surrender ourselves, and in Jesus Christ's name I surrender the sermon. And we all pray for the name of the Lord be glorified in the midst of us. Amen. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. You may be seated.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4 gives us the direction, guidance, instruction, edification, encouragement, warning, blessing, whatever you want to pursue. But that chapter ends by saying, if you want to comfort one another, wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. What are those words? Those who slept in faith will wake up, will rise and shine with the Son of Man in his glory, because the darkness, the death cannot hold power over God's children forever, but only for the appointed time. But it is not called as something revelation or privilege or honor or knowledge, but by means of comfort. But the Holy Ghost is called the Comforter. But 1 Thessalonians says, you comfort one another with these words. But Jesus says, you can't understand my words. You need the Comforter. But the Comforter comforts what? Comforts our heart for no reason, no perfection, no change, no repentance. Or comforts our heart for something that is not to be comforted of. Is everything will be comforted by God? Or can we comfort ourselves in all things by using scripture? If we are all comforted all the time, then why there is a need of comforter? If we are healed all the time, then why there is a need of great physician? If we will never go weary, then why we need the everlasting, never drying fountain who can revive us, refresh us, restore us? So what is this balance? What is the supply of the Lord, and what is the desire of the children? Or is there any longingness that we lack? Or is there any blessedness the Lord is not giving you? So comfort ye one another with these words, which is the power of resurrection, is a result of God loves you, is a result of God gave his only Son, and the result of that Son surrendered, submitted, obeyed the perfect will of God Almighty in the Garden of Gethsemane, and that surrendering resulted in Calvary the next day, and that Calvary was a place where our sins and iniquities devoured the bread of life. Where our disobedience and our arrogance, our sinful nature, killed Christ, who is the anointed, who chose to lose that we will all receive salvation, in that failure, he actually saw it as a victory. By giving, by allowing things to happen to himself. Now, Goliath was completely covered by all the mighty armor, but yet he did not cover the forehead, thinking that it's a very small space, who will aim? Because I have two hands, I have all the weapons, I can hide. So he thought nobody would hit the bullseye. But David saw the breach and he hit the breach. He did not hit anywhere else because he knows no point. So he hit the head, the forehead of Goliath. Because God knows the breach. The Son of Man knows where to hit. But the question is, that Goliath is not going to resurrect. Because it's a type of lack of understanding that rebelled against the true understanding. That is, typing the children of Israel. And that David, who types the son of David, who also will destroy the wickedness, destroy death, destroy the lack of understanding, so that his children will dwell safely, gladly, in the truth. Amen? What is the truth? The land of the word of God. Our promised land, where we stand today. How can we comfort one another? Because there are two types of sleep. One, the sleep that glorifies God. Is it possible? If it is not possible, God would not let you sleep every day to rest, to recover. It is His design that you need rest. It is better you put your flesh to sleep, or else it will make so much noise. Isn't it? Your eyes, your mind, your ears, always hearing something, speaking something, doing something. Not everything is holy. And the Lord gave us a hard reset that we'll go tired, we'll sleep for some time. So that we remember the day of salvation will also end with the sleep. But the next morning, the bright morning, will be the day where you receive the sunlight to see another day. And that types the death and resurrection. Lazarus was asleep. And the Lord gave him and told him, good morning. How he said that? Come out, Lazarus. So God is good. And whatever happened, whatever may happen, the Lord says, I'm able to reset. I'm able to restore. I'm able to make things, all things so beautiful. Because he said this. When he created, the Bible said, he saw what he made. And he saw everything was good. And it is not the seeing that we see in our flesh. When God says, I saw what I made, it was good. He says, I discerned what I made and I can understand that it is good. But how come whatever that God made was good, but yet in the Garden of Eden, how come the serpent was possessed by the spirit of the enemy? So can we say the serpent was also made, but God said it was good, but then it became bad? Who allowed the breach? Who allowed the breach in the place where God was fellowshipping with Adam in the same garden? The sin was committed. And who allowed the breach? What is the breach? In the book of Job, the Bible says Satan came to the meeting, hitchhiked in thoughts, in intents, in your words, whatever, and had a bargaining session with God. Literally a bargaining session. How about 10? 7. How about 6? Okay, 6. A bargaining session over the soul of Job. But the Lord says, don't touch his life because life belongs to me. Do whatever you want. That permission is the door the Lord allows things in your life. And adversity will come and dance in your life. But at any point of time, God cannot be unrighteous because he allowed these things in your life. Because you are not worthy in the first place. I am not worthy in the first place. I was not a holy person in the first place. You were never a righteous person in the first place. So when God allows things, he is righteous. What he allowed still remain righteous. And how you are going to face, that is where the battle is. So God allowed. Job suffered. But Job is not righteous enough to say God was wrong to let him suffer. God allowed. Serpent had the freedom, liberty to test Eve, because Eve had her own free will and she exercised without seeking Adam. If the free will of Eve was submitted, surrendered to Adam, the serpent will have no room to dance. But the free will of Eve was standalone. And serpent caught her in her weakest state, which is without submitting to Adam's will. But Adam can still be caught if he is not submitted to, surrendered to the will of God. So now, comfort ye one another with these words, because death entered on that day. That's why I want all of us to be reminded of how it entered. And the Lord says 6,000 years things are going on, but it's okay. Comfort ye with one another. Those who died in Christ will rise in Christ. Amen? But are we dying in Christ? Or do we just have to tell everyone, just encourage one another, like how the whole world is boasting, bragging, we are the Christians, there is no death for us, we will resurrect for sure, I will go to heaven for sure, I'm a holy man for sure, I'm a righteous man for sure, I go to church every Sunday for sure, 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 and the Lord will come and prove everyone for sure you are wrong. Where this word sleep can grant us the discernment in the Spirit of God. What is sleep? So we are tired, we go to bed. That is sleep that doesn't profit your salvation. It profits your flesh. But those who died in faith without receiving the promises, they also sleep. Their flesh taken away from them. From dust the flesh came, to dust the flesh returned. But the soul is still resting in the everlasting promise of God, resting in peace to see the salvation for the day the Lord would say, come, let us all receive what I give you, the crown of glory, the body of transfiguration, whatever the Lord is going to give, a glorious one, until the day the Lord also called them fallen asleep. He also called them, they fell asleep. David, when David died, the Bible says he fell asleep and he rested with his fathers. What is resting? Your fathers died already. No, the Lord says resting in peace, waiting for the glory. Amen? So now let us turn our scriptures to Daniel 12, straight to the last chapter, so that we bring everything back to Daniel and we see the scripture from the eyes of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. There are 12 chapters in the book of Daniel, a perfect construction of God's revelation, interpretation to the servant. Now, Daniel comes after Ezekiel. We will understand why later. Chapter 12, verse 1. At that time shall Michael stand up. So was he sitting all the while? The great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. The prince who stands for the people of God. Like how we say to one another as a friend, my friend, I will stand with you, whatever happens. Through storm or valley or mountain or season of joy or pain, I will stand with you. But we are not the absolute to give any promise. We can say, may the Lord bless me to stand with you. Because you may not see tomorrow. You are not immortal. You are a vapor. Amen. We are just a vapor. We can say, may the Lord have mercy upon me to stand with you as the friend in Christ. Now, Michael is the anointed. Amen. The anointed angel of God. A warrior. A soldier. Who leads the battle of righteousness under the anointing of God Almighty. And the Bible says, when Michael stand up. So let us remember, your Savior, my Savior, our Redeemer, the King of Kings, the Bible says, he is still seated in the throne of grace. Amen? That is why we receive grace and mercy. If he stand up, what will happen? What will happen when the Lord stands up? When the leader stands up, the followers, would they still sit? Or you stand up? Are you showing reverence to me? To who? The King receive reverence. He don't show reverence. He receive reverence. When the King of Kings stand up, everyone stand up. When he walk, everyone walk behind him. Because the leader leads the people by an example. So when the Bible says, when the King of Kings will come for the battle, we know that there is a behind him there is an army following him. So when Michael stand up, it means the Lord spoken, stand up. Now, when the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble. A time means a season, not multiple seasons. A final season of trouble. Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So the names are written. And the Bible says, the Lord, who is compassionate, merciful, loving, full of light, you and me were in his mind even before he laid the foundations of the world. But remember this, those who are in his mind are those humble seeds of God who submit, surrender to the righteous works of God. Because those who rebel can never be in the mind of God. Because the mind of God is the mind of the king. And the seeds of God who submit to the king. Amen. Surrender to the king. Thou knowest, Lord. I don't know, Lord. That attitude. Those who remain humble, they stayed in Jerusalem. Now, Michael stand up. Those who were written in the book of God are delivered. Because Michael has a checklist. This name, okay, good. This name, good. He has a checklist. And he goes by the name. Because the Lord calls you by name. Do you think Michael will just go and give angelic protection to every single soul on earth? He is not an inefficient employee. He is an efficient employee of God, that is servant, who knows his task, who knows what the Lord wants him. And he does exactly what he wants him. Nothing more, nothing less. That is why Michael and Gabriel, they are still able to hold on to their positions, because they don't go less, they don't go more. Lucifer went up. Am I right? Lucifer thought, God told me to do 10 things. I want to be so righteous. I will do 12 things. And those two will become poison. And the entire 12 will become rebellion. And that's what happened to Lucifer. Now Michael stands in his position because the Lord says there are two anointed olive trees in my presence. He glorifies them because they stood faithful to him throughout time. Aeons of time. Not 6,000 years. Much, much, much beyond that. Now, verse 2 says, and many of them that sleep in the dust. Many of them that sleep in the dust, buried, of the earth shall awake. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, it is called also sleep, which is buried under the earth, to be part of the dust. Your flesh will decay, but the hair that types the glory, and the bone that types the word of God would never ever decay by the dust. Am I right? All the crime investigation documentaries, if we see, they will always go and search the bones and see, because there is no flesh. It's all eaten by everything, but the bone remains, the hair also remains. Now, let us read the second part. It says, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. What? So there are two awakenings. So now let's go. Sleep. The word sleep. Let us bring it closer to the word dust. Sleep in the dust. So there are two awakening. And this awakening. One. The process of awakening yields the two fruit. One. That is for shame and contempt. Am I right? Which is also called everlasting. So there is no change once the Lord judge. He is not a man to change his judgment. That's why it says everlasting. Very similar to Darius, who wanted to throw those who disobey in the lion's den. The princess of Mede and Persia, they come and tell Darius, don't change the decree. Give us the word that you would not change the decree. Because Nebuchadnezzar threw Daniel's friends in the fiery furnace. He changed his mind. He blessed the God of Shadrach, God of Meshach, God of Abednego. Then he put everyone in that risk. whoever goes against God's children, he said they will be cut into pieces and thrown into the furnace. He changed the minds. But here, what the Bible reminds us, when the dead is destroyed in the lake of fire, it is an everlasting state that it will remain destroyed. It will not jump again. It won't be resurrected again. That death will be destroyed forever, which means the state of destruction will remain forever. The Lord would not give another chance to, you know, wake up. So that everlasting shame is a type of it is done and done once for all. But the first one says everlasting life, that's all. Because if the double-edged sword is everlasting, it is as long as eternity. That's what the Bible types us. Because of that, if he glorifies life, it will also profane shame and contempt in the same manner of everlasting. As the Lord liveth. Amen? When we say as the Lord liveth, the children of God will never die. It means death will have no room as the Lord liveth. Okay, how long he will live? Forever. Because of that, the death is destroyed forever. But actually, it is already completed on the day of Calvary. Because Jesus said, it is finished today. But he gave death 2 days of chance. That is 2,000 years of chance to torment the children of God. Imagine death is falling for 2,000 years. People are dying. People are dying. But two types of people are dying. One, people die in flesh, die to desire, die to lust, die to wealth, whatever. But on the other side, people also die for desire for the word of God, die to the wealth and richness of the word of God, and die to Christ who was crucified for our sins, and we are crucified to the cross by the Holy Ghost. Amen? Two death, but one death glorifies, one death does not glorify God. Now, book of Daniel ends here. Michael stand up, those who are sleeping as part of the dust, they will receive the blessed promise and they will arise. But when they arise, imagine 1,000 seeds are awakening from the sand. Hey, look at my body. Oh, very nice. I'm going to heaven. And Michael says, no, there is one more step. There is one more step. And what is it, one more step? Those who awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and contempt. So weeds and tares, we know how the Lord judged one to life. Today you shall be with me in paradise. And the one who mocked him, the Lord did not say anything because he do not have to say anything. Am I right? The Lord don't have to say anything if that anything doesn't profit salvation. Do you think God is going to tell every wickedness, you are going to hell? You are going to hell, everything water, you are going to hell. No, he is not going to say anything. He will speak what is life. When he speaks what is life, whatever he didn't speak, it's all death. The Lord who clothed himself in darkness. Because he separated light from darkness. Amen. Now look at verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. The word firmament is written explicitly in the book of Genesis chapter 1. When God created, he talks about firmaments of heaven and the ocean. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. A promise God made to Abraham. Can you count the stars? Lord, I can't count. Can you count the sand in the seashore? Lord, I can't count. That is how much my children will be. We should not be confounded by saying that we are a small, elite group. Because God's children can be counted very few. Yes, it is very few to you and me. But when God of heavens and earth, when he says very few, to him even the stars is very few. Because he can count. He can count your hair. He can count the stars. He can count the sands of the seashore. He do not have any lack of materials that he can only build this much level of mansions. That he can only allow this much special people to stay inside. No. God is the builder and maker of mansions where we will all shall dwell in. If he tells all of us, enlarge your heart, don't you think his heart is enlarged to receive every single seed of him in his kingdom? God's heart is enlarged beyond our measure. And that is why we had one whole sermon on largeness of our heart. Because the God whom you serve, His heart is large. Or else you won't be sitting here. He has a very large heart to accommodate everyone. His heart is bigger than the Ark of Noah. Because He can accommodate everyone beyond time, present, past and future. Because He is the only source, the origin of life from where we all came. Now, some to shame, some to honor when they awake. Because judgment of God will reveal who is who. But that judgment, Michael do not know. Gabriel do not know. Only the one, the Holy One knows. Now, verse 4, the Lord gives an instruction to Daniel. But thou, you Daniel, now He comes to personal, intimate relationship. You Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end, many shall run and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. That is the sign of destruction. People will start go weary, restless. Oh, I want to serve God. I want to serve God. I'm increasing this knowledge. I'm increasing this knowledge. I'm going to be so fruitful. I'm going to be so great. I'm going to shine, shine, shine. And the Lord says, it shall happen as I spoke. Because discernment of God is subtle, quiet, content, like a deep sea, does not make a noise. Still, or underneath the sea, there are tons of whales, big creation of God are moving, but no sign at below. There is no sign on the shallow. Amen? When our faith is shallow, you will make noise. When our faith is deep, you will be like Stephen, just be rooted in the peace of God. Most dangerous power of a child of God is the peace of God. You may cry, you may go through so many things, but deep inside you will be still like an iron. Now, the Lord commanded Daniel, shut up the words. But this word spoken by the Lord Himself through the angel, and He tells Daniel, shut up the words. Now, how Daniel can shut up the words? It is spoken or it is written. How can Daniel seal it? Because he's going to die. He was about 88, 89 or 90 years old when he died. Similar to John the Apostle, John the Beloved. John the Beloved, Daniel the Beloved, David the Beloved. Now, how Daniel can shut the words? If you look at verse 5, then I, Daniel, looked and behold, there stood other two, one on the side of the bank of the river and the other on the side of the bank of the river. I just want you to just simply visualize. We sing a song, Sweet River, typing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as a sweet river who waters the vineyard, makes garden, He gives life as He goes. And Daniel says, I saw one standing on the right side of the river, one standing on the left side of the river. Okay, is there anyone missing? Verse 6. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river. This should immediately remind you the meeting between Abraham, the Lord, and the two angels under the terebinth tree, the mighty oak tree. Now here, instead of tree, Daniel is going through a river, a vision of river. Upon the river, someone is standing. Right side, left side, for example, two witnesses. And the one who was clothed in linen speaking. He says, how long shall it be to the end of this wonder? So the one said to the man in clothed linen. So the question was asked to the wisdom, who has the wisdom. And verse 7, and I heard the man clothed in linen. Again it says, which was upon the waters of the rivers, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and sware by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time. The word swearing or sworn, it is also written in the book of Isaiah, has sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter into my blessed rest. The Lord spoke such words before. But the Bible says, do not swear, do not use, you know, your mouth to swear. Don't use God's name to swear. But the Lord himself said this. Although it was written, the Lord, you know, has sworn. No, actually he spoke. When he spoke, it is going to happen anyway. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? He don't have to say, I promise you, it is going to happen like this. No, he's not going to say such things. He will say, he speaks, it happens as it is. Now, what he says, that shall be for a time, one times two and half, when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So let's pay very close attention. Scatter, the enemy, is the typical verses that we have read in the scripture. But Book of Daniel ends by saying, scatter the power, not the power of unholy, the power of holy people. Why the Lord needs to scatter the power of holy people? Don't forget Genesis 11, Tower of Babel was being constructed, and the Lord was not happy. He confounded them by introducing many languages. Then he scattered them. God scattered the enemies that the children of God will be preserved. Amen. Now, Book of Daniel says the Lord will scatter the holy people, that the power will become diluted. You know, diluted? The Lord takes Stephen. One faithful man is gone. The Lord takes Apostle Paul. One God's revelation is gone. The Lord take apostle, the Lord take true servants of God, one by one. And the Book of Isaiah says, the Lord takes the righteous in his mercy, but no one considereth not. Nobody cares. But the Bible says, he take his righteous from the evil to come. Amen? So whenever a true child of God finishes the journey on earth, the first verse should come to your mind, the Lord took that righteous vessel from the enemy to come. It is written. I'm not speaking. It is written. The Book of Isaiah. It is written. But it is also written, nobody cares. No one considers. Because the Lord says they don't understand. It is not the time for them to weep for the one who passed, but it is a time for them to weep for themselves. That is what Jesus Christ said in the Calvary. Woman, what are you doing? Lord, we are mourning for you. Mourning for me. Don't weep for me. Weep for you and weep for your children. Sometimes people, we are emotionally taken over by our emotions and we say, Lord, you need my sympathy, right? I feel so sad for you. I feel pity for you, Lord, who you and me feel pity for the one who can destroy by a breath of air. Even the devils, demons bow to him and scream at him, Son of David, Son of God, what are you doing here? They are scared of him. They tremble in his presence. And the women were weeping for Christ. Oh, the Lord is going to die suffering. If they truly were rooted in the wisdom of God, they would be beating their chest, would say, it is by my sin. My prince of life is going through shame and suffering. My sin. They would be for themselves and the one they will conceive in sins for the children. And Jesus says, don't weep for me, weep for you and your children. Because you are going to go through tribulation, not me. Because he is going to be the one who commands tribulation. Sentiments, emotions, influences, feelings, sympathy will not have a small room in the kingdom of heaven. It is full of agape, which can yield empathy, which is, Lord, me. You see how you love me. I can see from the way you forgive my sins and redeem me from the valley. You lifted me from the miry clay. Amen. We cannot behave that we fell from heaven. The Lord lifted me all from the miry clay of sin, iniquity, shame and death. And he placed us on the solid rock, the rock of refuge, our salvation. Amen. Now, Book of Daniel continues by saying, verse 7 saying, Verse 8, and I heard, but I understood not. This is how God made Daniel to shut the words. Imagine God speaks to you for 8 hours. You are enjoying the fellowship. Oh, Lord, so refreshing, Lord. What a Lord I serve. Then the Lord says, whatever I spoke, keep it secret. Now, how the Lord can put the trust in Daniel to keep it secret? Because he's a man of flesh. He will spill out. And verse 8 says, I heard, I understood not. I had a dream. I woke up in the morning. I keep on trying to remember, but I remember not. But the dream did something to me. I became more and more like Christ. What the dream did to you, you don't have to know. It is none of your business. The Lord knows what is your business to know. There are many things, it is none of our business. Amen? Because the Father in heaven, Jesus says, I'm here to do the business of my Father. Amen? Not the business of the world where they make profit and loss. But the Lord, there is no loss. It's only profit. He yield the reap. He reap the seeds. And that business is ministry of reconciliation, ministry of redemption. And Jesus says, that is my only business. That is my only business. Now, during this process of harvesting, finding the lost sheep, if I go and keep on telling the Lord, Lord, you know, I have a big problem. What's your problem? My employer is torturing me. The soul is dying there. Forget about it. My employer is torturing me. The soul is dying there. Lord, that is not important. I'm not getting reward from my employer. Now let's look at from the eyes of Christ. Which one holds value in the kingdom? Our heart that is not content with the lust of the world, greedy, jealousy, attitude of the mind that is wanting something, which means absolutely no profitable thing in heaven. If Michael and Gabriel stand with us, if you go and tell them whatever we want, and the Lord would, Michael would say, if I have the same thought as you, I will fall as Satan from heaven. Am I right? Because if I'm a child, the very first contentment that I have is, my Father knows how to feed me. My Father knows how to watch over me. My Father knows how to guide me. And my Father knows how to keep me. In that understanding, I'm content. When we are content, and that contentment will be seen in peace. How can you have peace without contentment? Impossible. Impossible. So, that is the difference between the two sleep I am going to show you in the light of the scripture. One, sleep that is in peace, in contentment by the gracious God of heaven. And one is also sleep and more surprisingly also come with peace. And this peace is even more sweeter than the peace of God. Even more so calm than the peace of God. But that will result in restless behavior, you know, disquietness, absolute disquietness. And the enemy will give a name, you are so passionate for the Lord. See, nobody can make you to feel content. You are always hungry. You are always thirsty. You are always wanting something for the Lord. You see, there is a thin line. One, the sufficiency of scripture is questioned. And two, the sufficiency of scripture still stays tall in your life and yet you want more of a spirit, nothing else. Amen? So this is what, by the grace of God, we will go into scripture today. But for that, we need a direction from someone who came, served the Lord, died for the Lord, and 3 years walked naked for the Lord, who lived and died even before the time of Jeremiah. So let's go to book of Isaiah, chapter 29. And let us learn from the forefather of Daniel what Isaiah thinks about what Apostle Paul spoke, what Daniel himself spoke. Because Daniel chapter ends by saying, I heard, I understood not. Never ever forget that. The one who prayed to the Lord, the one who lived 80 years plus in the Babylon, and the one who received all the mighty interpretation, vision, dream, whatever. The chapter of Daniel ends by saying, Daniel, you know nothing. He understood not, is the finishing statement of book of Daniel. Now, why? And how God shut the words of his revelation? Let's go from chapter 29. I will read from verse 1. word to Ariel, to Ariel, the city where David dwelt, and ye year to year let them kill sacrifice. Let them do whatever they want. Let them live in the Old Testament. Let them fulfill the laws of Moses. Let them still remain in the wilderness, no matter they have palaces, temple, construction, whatever. The sight of the Lord, they are still in the wilderness. Do you know? They are still in the wilderness until they cross the river of Jordan. Jesus Christ, He is the river of Jordan for all of us. Because He is the only way, He is the only mediator. For He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life to go to the kingdom of God. And what is on the other side of the river of Jordan? The blessed rest, the promised land. He is the way. Amen? Until and unless the Jews go through Christ, they cannot see who they are. They are still in wilderness. And here, in the entire chapter, the word Ariel is not representing the name of the angel, who is also, there is also an angel called Ariel. But here the word Ariel is a poetic way of representing Jerusalem. Because David was a poet, and David was a fantastic poet. A psalmist. A psalmist who was close to God. Woe to you, Ariel, Ariel. Which God will say this about His very own Jerusalem? But don't forget, He is saying this in the book of Isaiah. There is still more Jeremiah to come, who will speak an even more bitter. He is man of bitter, but the bitter truth. Now, Isaiah is speaking by the leading of the Spirit, a warning to Jerusalem. In that warning, I am going to bring out all the words we meditated last two Sundays. Remember the words I'll write here? Dust, okay, thistle, yes, thorn, yes, clay, yes, and also the word sleep. Is it possible everything can be covered in a single chapter? Isaiah can. Because Isaiah walked 3 years naked for the Lord. He knows how to humble himself. 3 years, God told Isaiah, I'm going to judge Egypt, Assyria, but I need a token. What token? Someone should serve me that should give me the confidence, assurance, and happiness to do what I'm going to do. Because He's righteous. Amen? God is righteous. Remember, every single soul saved in the corners of the earth, the Lord is reaping the tears, righteous deeds of His very own children as a token to do His work. Why? Enemy is challenging God. Are you being so favorite to someone? He can't be favorite to someone because there is no familiarity in God's kingdom. Amen? In much more so, since I remember the word, let's also remember the word familiar spirit. Because people misunderstand, this familiar spirit is part of our life. Let's break it. It is part of our life until we crush it. We can crush it. You have a heel, and that heel that is designed, created, anointed, washed to preach the gospel of peace. When you preach the gospel of peace, that familiar spirit will scream under your feet. Now let's read verse 2. Yet I will distress Ariel, and there shall be heaviness and sorrow, and it shall be unto me as Ariel. Who is speaking? The Lord is speaking concerning His warnings. The Lord says, I will distress Ariel. Now tell me, who put a distressing spirit upon Saul? So God had the distressing spirit in His pocket to put on Saul. He is holy. In Him there is no darkness. But when He takes His hands off, we are free to be hosted by any spirit. That is the deeper revelation of what happened to Saul. God left, God entered. Glory of God left, glory of men entered. Am I right? Reverence and honor to God left, reverence and honor to men left. Religious attitude entered, spiritual attitude gone. Even those who kill others, who follow extreme level of faith, they also have modest way of clothing. But they go and detonate themselves to kill many people. So, where is the spiritual clothing? The physical clothing is sufficient? Do you think God can be pleased? The deeper inner change will manifest with the outer change. The outer change can never manifest to the inner change. Amen? Because the judgment of God begins from the house of God. Deep inside, the light that shines from you is from your heart, not from your lips. Lips is outer. heart is inner. Amen? Out of the abundance. Now you see how the Lord hits the bullseye from verse 3. He's an archer. And I will camp against thee round about, and I will lay siege against thee with a mount, and I will raise force against thee. He says, I am not raising my force to be against thee. I will raise the army against you. Who sent Nebuchadnezzar to Israel? God himself. And even now, that little land, surrounded by so many fortresses, who raised them? They raised themselves? No. The Lord needs to allow them to be able to gain power. But now, as I was telling in the last prayer gathering, judgment of God will happen in Israel, outside Israel, at the same time. If we choose to put our land somewhere thinking that God is here, you would be proved completely wrong. And Isaiah 29 is a beautiful chapter that gives you that enlightenment. First 6 verses, the Lord deals with Ariel. The next 6 verses, the Lord deals with those who came against Ariel. But he is the one who allowed them to come against. In another example, if the Lord is your shepherd, he takes the staff to chasten you first and take the same staff to hit the wolf. Do you hear me? Both the sides, he used the staff to hit. But on one side, that sheep will receive repentance, perfection, changing, molding to glory. On the other side, when he strikes, it is destruction. That's it. There is no way the wickedness will rise again. Now read this. Verse 4. And thou shalt be brought down, and thou shalt speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust. So now remember this. The speech is compared to what? Dust. Yes. Imagine I come to your house and I say, very important fellowship with you. Okay, let's pray. Let's sing, give thanks. Okay, feeling spiritual? Not yet. Let's say hallelujah. Okay, all good. Let's sing 2 more songs. Let's read scripture. All good. Now let's gossip. So we 2 hours we gossip. After 2 hours of gossip, then we say, it's a divine fellowship. Let's sing 1 more song. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray 1 more time. Hallelujah. Then we should finish by saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, we all prayed, amen. Now it becomes a big fellowship. And the Lord says, you are speaking dust. Imagine I come to your ear and I speak. No, the sea, sand, or the sand from seashore comes from my mouth, goes to your ear. You will say, no, no, no. Oh, brother, what are you doing? Or is spitting dust into my ears? It is written in the scripture. Now remember this. The speech can become a dust because the dust will be carried by a wind. Now look at what happens. And thy voice shall be as of one that hath a familiar spirit, hallelujah, out of the ground. And thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. So what I said is linked to this whispering, not the song that we sang, that is whispering the Holy Ghost. Whisper by the familiar spirit will bring forth dust. What is dust? Types, the flesh will go to dust. It won't go to heaven. Amen? I said 1,000 words, but none of the words go to heaven. Because Michael and Gabriel are standing there. Do you think they will allow everything to enter into God's presence? Why the Lord keep them as a cherubim to guard the Garden of Eden? Because he put the trust in the angels. Because he made them. And they were serving God much more than the time of humanity, so he knows how to test how to place who and where to place who. Now remember the word dust, familiar spirit, speech. Amen? Now let's continue. Verse 5. Moreover, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like a small dust, and the multitude of the terrible one shall be as a chaff that passeth away. Yea, it shall be at an instant, suddenly. So the word introduced along with thistles, thorn, when they fell from the branches, it will become dry, very light, you know, in terms of weight. When a wind comes, this chaff will disappear. Amen? if you live in a house, it is windy, open all the windows, put some dust in the living room, just wait and see. When the wind comes, you don't have to mop the floor. The wind will mop for you. You are inbuilt servant. Then what the wind of Holy Ghost will do to the house of God when he passed through? How many times the Lord passed through Nebuchadnezzar? 7. But Nebuchadnezzar was not a Jew. Why the Lord made him a spectacle to teach a lesson? Who is Nebuchadnezzar? Jew or Gentile? Gentile. Who are you? Who is me? Jew? In our dream. Gentile. Some through the blood, some through the water, some through the fire. Some are born in the house of Abraham. Some are purchased to the house of Abraham. Amen. Now, remember the words. Speech, dust, chaff, thistle, thorn. Now, this word sleep is still hanging around. So, we will continue for the Lord to connect the dots. Verse 6. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder, with earthquake, and great noise, with storm, and tempest, and flame of devouring fire. Nebuchadnezzar made a mistake, man. The flame of devouring fire is the work of God. Is the Lord's signature work. Nebuchadnezzar tried to mimic the work of God. Now, threefold cord is not quickly broken. Amen. How many vessels Nebuchadnezzar threw into the vessel? 3. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. To his side. But the side of God, Ananiah, Amaziah, Azariah. Because they are children of God. And they were not quickly broken because someone came to bind them together. The fourth one, who appeared like a son of man, who has another name, the spirit of unity, who has another name, put on the garment of charity, who has another name, the bond of perfectness, the only mortar who can put all the bricks together in the kingdom of God, in the wall of Jerusalem. The mortar is the agape of God. And Jesus Christ is the agape of God. And the agape of God is the glory of the Father in heaven. Amen. God is love. God is love. His love is glory. He don't take glory in his wrath. He takes glory in his love. But when he shows love, there is a wrath behind him. And he says, don't go behind me. Walk before me. Now, in all of these things, why the word sleep is like an odd man against these bricks? Continue verse 7. And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her and munition, or you can say ammunition, easier for us today, and that distress her shall be as a dream of a night vision. Daniel, how many visions you had? Oh Lord. And the Lord says, it will be vanity as good as a vision. And Apostle Paul says, prophecy faileth, visions faileth, knowledge faileth, everything faileth, but charity no, because charity is the very existence of God himself. Now, first 6 verses, if you are all the enemies of Ariel, we would say, I thought we were going to destroy Ariel. Looks like God will do our job. We can just rest. Then 7th verse onwards, God comes and say, come on, come. Those who arose against Ariel, come. Let me speak. First 6 verses addressing the imperfection of Ariel. Am I right? That is Jerusalem. And from 7th verse onwards, God shows, I am the Father. No matter how prodigal the son, I am the Father. Father chastens the son. The son chastens not the son. Because we are sons and daughters of God. Amen. The word of God. Prunus, not the word of men. Now look at the next verse. It shall be even as when an hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. You know how painful this word is? You know what does it mean? It means you will spend all your life striving, suffering, crying, moaning, groaning, working, running, sweating, do all the things, and the Lord would say, profited nothing. How would you feel when he says this? Imagine I spent all my life doing so many things, and the Lord comes and say, my son, yes Lord, let me put some makeup. You are going to give me some gift, right? I put some makeup, look handsome now. Yes Lord. Whatever you did, yes, Lord, nothing. That moment, how it looked like? Would it do some bad thing to me? No, if I'm a child of God, that word of the Lord will come like a stone, will hit the mirror of mine, and I will break into pieces. And the Lord will reveal the true version of me. Lord, I repent. For that repentance, that entire journey of failure is worth it. Why? One soul enters into the kingdom of God. It is worth it. Absolutely worth it. Because the whole 6,000 years of humanity would still need to wait for the very lost sheep of Jesus Christ. The Lord would say, wait. Why? One sheep is running here and there. Lord, how long we should wait? Wait. Lord, no. I can't wait. I have to go to the promised land. Then you will become Korah. 40 days Moses was on the top of the mountain, soaking in the Shekinah glory. Amen? Now tell me, where was the camp of Israel? In the Shekinah glory? Oh no. Where was the entire multitude of Israel, the camp of Israel, all the people of Israel, when Moses was stuck in the beautiful divine prison called God's Shekinah glory for 40 days? Where were they? They were all grounded. Without Moses, they can't move a single step forward. Oh, he's so special. No, not he's special. Even without Miriam, who was sent out of the camp for 7 days. 7 days. The Lord was visiting her every single day. She was visited by the Lord's understanding. That is how her leprosy was cleansed. Spiritually. Until she enters the camp, the Bible says, the whole camp of Israel grounded, could not move forward. Now, why Korah was impatient? I'm a man of progress. I can't wait. 7 days of progress delay. My customers will be very angry. Who is your customer? Oh, 40 days more sleeping in the mountain. Who knows? Maybe he's just enjoying with the second wife. Zipporah, what happened to your husband? Why is he not looking for you? Speculation, gossiping, rumors. 40 days God was filling His glory in the leader, and 40 days speculation, gossip was spreading across Israel, and the Lord uncovered the nakedness in chapter 16, when the rebellion was revealed. A child of rebellion with a group of 253 people. The Lord was counting, 253. So what was the result? Impatience. How we began the sermon, comfort ye one another with these words. Which words? These words. If you are not to be comforted, you are here. Something is ruling your mind. A thistle, a thorn, a familiar spirit, a chaff, words which are dust. And all of this would stop you from being a clay. Because a clay cannot be any of it. Imagine the Lord is a potter and I give him a beautiful group of sandbags. Inside the sandbag, I put a surprise for God. Gold, diamond, platinum made thistle thorns. But very precious. But all platinum made. But thistle thorns. So can the Lord put the water and squeeze? If he squeezes, what will happen to his hand? Those thistles and thorns, it would hurt his hand, right? Because when the Lord makes the clay, it will be nothing but the dust and the water. Nothing in between. No familiar spirit, no thistle, no thorn. And he still wants that clay to be sleep. What is the sleep? Divine, perfect submission and absolute confidence of God to rest in his peace. When you submit, when Adam was put into deep sleep, his flesh was not moving. He performed a surgery to take the rib out of his body, because bone of his bones, flesh of his flesh, he made Eve out of her, like you and me today. Now look at this, continue. Verse 7, we finished verse 8 from halfway. Or as then a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, and he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He says he will give them a reason to continue press on. He will give them a leeway and an opportunity for to continue to rise up, to build up, to gather, to put all the weapons again. They'll keep on going. Isn't that the worst punishment that anyone can have? Imagine I travel 1,000 kilometers only to face a dead end. If somebody told me, roadblock, go this way. 1,000 kilometers, save my fuel. I save my energy, I save my time. Or my car tires worn out, or my soul all worn out. 1,000 kilometers of vanity. A journey of vanity against Mount Zion. Now, having said this, those who are in Mount Zion, they are not holy. Because he judged them first, before he judged those who against Ariel. You see how beautiful God is? He judged his children first to set an example. Then he go and judge the rest. He takes the accountability of, I am your father. I don't need your permission. Can I go and ask my son, oh my son, can I punish you? You say, no, I won't ask you. You are my son. When the time comes when he becomes a man, I will ask him, can I say this? Why? You are a man. You will be the head of your own house. I won't interfere. But until you become the head of the house, son honoreth the father. Now remember, Christ said, the Son of Man did not know the hour, that is, he's going to come. He give all the seeds back to the father. But remember, the groom is not married yet. Because we are still the bride. But what will happen when the bride and groom become husband and wife? Then who will be the head of the house? And the Bible says Christ is the head of my house. Amen. What is Christ? Anointed. The Spirit of God will always remain at the head of the house. Amen. And the manifestation that was in flesh, that is Christ himself. Justification always in spirit. Without justification, there is no redemption. Amen. Easy to say, I'm sorry. It is not repentance. Easy to say, I apologize. Not repentance. What is repentance? The Lord will wait for years. When you truly change, then without you saying, Lord, I repent, there will be a voice heard in heaven. Thy son repented now. Why? He lives as a different person. Your life as a new person, it is your way of telling the Lord, Lord, I repent. Not screaming 1,000 times. Change. Change is repentance. Amen. Life of Christ. Now continue. Why Daniel talk about sleep is because Isaiah said in verse 9, stay yourselves and wonder, cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. So something happened to those who against Ariel. But never forget, it happened also to Ariel. They are nowhere special than those who came against them. Do you hear me? Because God is not an author of confusion. In him there is no partiality. Next verse. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes, and the prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, there is a promise that we read in Haggai and Hosea and all the prophetical books. In the last days, the Lord will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. The young shall prophesy. They dream will dreams. Very easy to speak about those words. Do we speak this verse with the same intent, with the same level of sincerity? The Lord can pour out the spirit of deep sleep upon anyone. Now remember this, the title of today's sermon, the spirit of deep sleep. Now, if you just look at the title, you can also see it in a good way. The Spirit of God put Adam into deep sleep and Eve came. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay, Isaiah 29 verse 10. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and hath closed your eyes, that you can't see the revelation. You can't see the discernment. You can't see the truth. So that hides discernment. So, my title is not pointing to the good one. Because we can't be complacent always thinking about the Lord is with me, blessing me, it's all good. But the Lord has written all of this because we are seventh church age. Amen? You have to compass around seven times, not one time. We can't simply say, I will do it for sure. You won't do it for sure. He will make you to go weary and third round, fourth round, you will go to sleep. Spiritually. Amen? The Lord says, remember from what happened to Elisha, when Elijah was fed by the angel of the Lord, he took the bread, he ate the meat, and the Bible says, he ran 40 days in the strength. Can you and me run 40 days straight like Elijah? That is heavenly. It's nowhere near to the flesh, but the Bible says, in that strength, he reached the mount in 40 days. In that strength, that's heavenly strength. Like how Elisha, his loins was girded with strength and he outran the chariot. Amen? Spiritually, remember, what does it all mean? The seventh church age will be put into spiritual sleep, but physically we might be super active. Imagine I sing 2 hours non-stop songs and the Lord says, who is snoring? Lord, my voice, I have a husky voice, I can sing so beautifully, Lord. You are snoring, sleeping. Your lips say so many things, but your heart is far away from me. Whatever is uttered without the heart, to God it is snoring. Not singing, not praying, not speaking. Spiritual deep sleep is not being very slow. It's actually being super active. Failing to rest in the presence of God. Amen? Now let's remember and continue verse 11. The vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. Daniel, sealed. Isaiah, sealed. Apostle John, sealed. Noah, sealed. What is this seal? Who can uncover the seal? You see, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee, and saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. Even the learned cannot read what is sealed. It is called the sealed by God. Remember? Learned, sealed. Is it only for the learned? Look at the last verse. Last verse. And the book that is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee, he saith, I am not learned. Is there anyone can see a deeper understanding in those two words? Look at the response of the learned. The learned say, I cannot read for it is sealed. Amen? Am I right? I can't read because it is sealed. So which means you can read if it is unsealed. The Lord comes to Daniel and says, oh my son, this is secret for you. Can you read it, Lord? I can't read. It is not open. Oh, okay. Read now. What is this language? Lord, I can't read. I don't know this. That was the first answer the Lord asked. So what the learned think? Hey, it is sealed, right? That's why I can't read. What the unlearned say? Look at the last verse. What the unlearned say? I am not learned. But both are same response concerning the word sealed. But both had the same outcome. Nobody could read. Do you see the differences in the response? Now let's take another example. During the times of Nehemiah, the rebuilding of wall, before that, the scribe Ezra was used by the Lord mightily. Because he was recording everything, writing everything according to what happened exactly. He was a scribe. A very important scribe whose life was a mysterious timeline. I showed you before. He was alive, then there was a time that he was not seen. Then he came back again when Nehemiah was in need of help. When the Bible says, when Ezra stood up, he read what was in his hand. The learned said amen. And the unlearned did not say anything. What is an amen? Let it be as the Lord's will to come to fulfillment. Let it be as the Lord wanted. Verily, verily, as the Lord wanted. And people say amen. We agree. But the Bible says those who are learned said amen. spiritually bring it to our life. Jesus Christ, he stood up in the synagogue, opened the book of Isaiah. He read, the Spirit of the Lord was resting upon me. He spoke what he's going to do. And after that, he began his ministry. And whatever the Lord spoke in parables, in sermons, in letters, by the power of the Holy Ghost, how we all do say amen? By living. When you learn the word in the Spirit, your life will say amen, Lord. Amen, Lord. Every day you get up and you say amen, Lord. Not by lips, by the life that says amen to what the Lord commanded. Bear ye one another's burden, fulfill the law of Christ. So I go and carry some weight. Brother Zoel is shifting the house. I carry a sofa. Oh, I'm a child of God. I fulfill the scripture. Amen, amen. That is not amen. I stand with him, sing and sing song, pray together, and we carry together as one family of God, all of us, and we all say amen to him. That is amen. Amen. The abundance could not be controlled. It outpoured by your deeds. That is why the garment that is linen is always compared with deeds, not with your words. If it is words, the whole world will look white linen, even including all the evil leaders. They can speak so many things. The Bible calls it as flattery words. When you heard this, right, you will be deceived with the words. Watch, oh, so lovely man. Look at the way he speaks. That is how the enemy speaks. You will feel like you are drinking alcohol by hearing those words. Drowsy. Flattery words are not from the Holy Ghost. The word of the Holy Ghost is plain, truthful. That's it. No matter a 12-year-old child speaks in a low-tone voice or an 80-year-old Moses screams with a powerful lion voice, that word will have same fruit, same yield. Because the word of God is life, not the voice of men. Amen? Now, the Bible says, the Lord put a spiritual deep sleep. The Lord put a deep sleep. Which means they were all awake, 24/7 working, but discernment is gone. Now understand, what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? Daniel warned, Nebuchadnezzar said, I am a man of pride. I will walk in the course with pride. I will walk one whole year, I will walk. And the Lord said, if you do this to me 1 year, I will do this to you 7 times. Not taking punishment. It's a teaching to all of us, the king who began the Gentile season, the Gentile age, had gone through the visitation of God 7 times. To pass a message to all of us who receive Christ as Gentiles, to remember we are 7 church ages being purged, washed, to escape from the beastly nature what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, and to receive the divine nature to be restored as the royalty of God. Amen? Now let's read Book of Isaiah, the last verse, chapter 29. Chapter 29. Verse 16. I want to read verse 16. Surely your turning of the things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? What a striking statement, you see. So within 16 verses in Book of Isaiah, the whole word written here completely covered. Clay, sleep, thistle thorn, dust, familiar spirit, all in 16 verses. It's called God's wisdom. Have you ever read Book of Jude? Only one chapter, right? This week you go and meditate. One single chapter, around 20 verses or so. Is it written in a structured approach or it is going everywhere? Please read. When man prepares to unleash his thoughts, he will design a painting. Start from here. 30 minutes later I will scream. Everybody will say amen. Then I'll say some sad story to make all of you sympathy. Then I read your mind. Then I change the tone. If you read Book of Jude, if you read Apostle Paul letters, you won't see any pattern. You don't even know what they are speaking about if you are not in spirit. Are they following a title? Structured title like how the men... No, if you look at the way, in my office it happened. I even told my team, if you use AI in my project, I will have to change the way I assess you. I told them in the meeting last week. You know what they do? They give a command, summarize the project, the whole book within 5 minutes, summarize, right? Then where is your brain? Where is your mind? Where is your reasoning? No, I save time for what? To sleep? To eat more? Anything that saves time to make you to go even more dumber, it is not from God. We should use the technology as a sandal, not as a crown. The Lord says, whatever remains old school must remain old school. Why I should write on the board? Because we should be old school. Whatever that can be, anything can be taken away from us. Everything can be taken away from us. But whatever the apostle did with a ink, a pen, a word, a tongue, a paper, that's all they had. And they performed the ministry in the most purest and powerful way. But today, everything is technology based, even us. But we have to draw the line. What is allowed, what is not allowed. Amen? Why we are reading this? It is written in book of Daniel, chapter 11. The whole book of Daniel 11, it is talking about what the technology will, how the technology will devour the earth that we live in today. It's called forecasting devices, intelligence. The word intelligence is written in the book of Daniel 4 times in chapter 11. So he's not a simple man after all. That's why God says, you won't understand what you speak now. It is not for you to understand. It is for my children to understand. Write it, seal it. Because there is one who revealed it. Amen? Now, remember this as we continue. The Lord says, I gave you frame and you think you can forsake me. I gave you understanding and you think that I have no understanding. And he reminded us by saying that I am the potter, you are the clay. Amen? If I lose discernment, remember this, you would never be able to remain as a clay. You will become a dust again. And the thistle thorn will come and join you. And the Lord can't touch you. Now let's go to Job chapter 33. Job chapter 33. Before the book of Psalm, but during the time of Abraham. Chapter 33, verse 15. Read from verse 14. 33 verse 14. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. How many times the Lord called Ariel in the book of Isaiah? Woe to you, Ariel, Ariel. How many times the Lord called Samuel? Once or twice? Samuel, Samuel. How many times he called Adam? Adam, Adam, where are you? Martha, Martha. Every time the Lord called twice, you could see there is a significant importance the Lord is going to address. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. But there are times he said 3 times. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And the book of Revelation, woe, woe, woe. That's always typing destruction. Whenever the Lord brings the word 3 times, it's typing destruction that's going to come. Now let's read verse 14 says, God speaketh once, you won't listen, yet twice. Yet man perceiveth it not. Peter denied Christ 3 times, not 2 times. 3 times he denied for his lack of understanding, completely destroyed when he embraced repentance. And the Lord calls the bride, you should preserve yourself in soul, spirit, body. Amen? Because that is how he made us. Now let's continue. Verse 15. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed. So what is the result of deep sleep? Slumbering. Like lingering, slackening, or unable to do what you can do it comfortably in joy and peace. There is a bond on that constrains you. And look at the next verse. Then he opened the ears of men and sealed their instruction. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What he told Daniel? Shut thou the words and seal it. Now, let's read Proverbs 19, book of Proverbs 19. Let us go through scriptures concerning this deep sleep, the different perspectives of deep sleep. Proverbs 19, verse verse 15. 19:15. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. What the book of Isaiah said, they had an unquenchable hunger. They were suffering by the hunger which was not to be quenched. If we all say that I have a hunger and thirst that cannot be quenched, then God is my provider is not the banner of your life. Am I right? He can quench, satisfy my soul. He's the provider. But if there is a hunger and thirst that is not holy, that is not divine, it would never be quenched because God won't feed such things. He will let us suffer in that journey of seeking the treasure. What happened next verse? He that despiseth his ways, he that keepeth commandment, keepeth his own soul, he that despiseth his ways shall die. Now, keepeth commandments, keepeth his own soul, not someone's soul. If you stay awake spiritually, it is not going to bring a salvation to someone who sleeps spiritually. Because the Lord says, the one keepeth commandment, he can only save his soul. Even if you are the son of Noah or Daniel, book of Ezekiel talks about Daniel, Noah and Judah and so many children of God, saying that the Lord judges every seed because he is the only seed, the creation of who is the creator. Amen. Now, let us remember book of Proverbs, and now let's go to the Old Testament. Remember this, how the Lord can cast sleep, 1 Samuel chapter 26. Now let us take some examples, because God always do everything in actions. Because actions speak louder than words. 1 Samuel chapter 26. Now here, what is happening here is, Abishai, the servant of David, he tempts David to create an act of violence. 1 Samuel chapter 26 verse 8. So Abishai is tempting David to kill Saul. Now, verse 8 he says, Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Which is a lie. Because God did not deliver Saul into the hands of David, because Saul is not the enemy of David. Do you understand? That is complete form of adversity. Abishai is an instrument of the enemy, adversity. He's speaking lies, this side. And he says, now therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee. He's begging to kill Saul. Who will beg to commit violence? The devil, father of all lies. Cain jumped over Abel and killed him. So Abishai, I pray thee, give me the permission, let me kill Saul. So Abishai had some past history with Saul. Most probably, he is not a humble servant to David. He was confounded by violence. Now, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. Look at the assertiveness. Abishai says, if you give me a chance, you know what I will do? In one shot, I will kill him. I don't need a second shot. Who are you? God judge once. Abishai says, I don't have to try. I will just clean him in one shot. One single shot. Now David is hearing all of this. Look at the response. And David is not a perfect man, even now. Verse 9. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? No matter whatever you do and say, you will never escape the guilt, because the anointing represents the Spirit of God. That is David's wisdom. But the next verse, you may all have missed this because of David's heroic state most of the time. Look at the words spoken by David next verse. David said furthermore, so it is not Abishai. David said furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him. Why David said this? David said the Lord shall smite him. But why can't the Lord can forgive him and restore him? Now, the reason why David said this is even more deeper that we think of. Let's continue. Or his day shall come to die. And now he says, David says, or his day shall come to die. When he said this, David says, I don't know. He's speculating. Do you understand? He's speculating. He's drawing the possibilities of what would happen. He's not judging Saul. From his wisdom, the Lord anointed, he's drawing the possibilities of what could happen. Option one, the Lord may strike. Because the Lord struck Uzzah. The moment of striking, Uzzah was not righteous. Because he disobeyed by doing something that was not commanded in the first place. Do you hear me? Then David says, or, which means David says, I don't know. Or, his day shall come to die. Or he will just live a long life and will die. But David says, I'm prepared for anything. Look at the third one. Or, he shall descend into battle and perish. Now tell me, David gave three possible reasons. Now, do you think David will say, the Lord led this in my heart, which Lord? So the Lord came and told David, you know David, the way I think, Saul's life can go to point A, point B, point C. The Lord whom we serve, there is only A, Almighty, that's all. One point, he knows what's going to happen. But David says, he knows, I don't know. I see three different roads, I do not know. Or I could become unrighteous and become a sinner. David was putting himself on the ground by saying that, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. That is why he was called the wise king. The truth is, he don't know. Can Daniel say 11 chapters of the most interesting, deep revelation of scripture wrote by me? You know, my name is Daniel. Call me. 12 chapter, Daniel, you don't know anything. Chapter ends. Can the mic boast sermon from me? The sermon is from the one who speak. The mic has nothing. We are all the mic or the instrument or the tools. We have no glory, no righteousness, no wisdom. It is the archer who take the arrow and use it for a good reason. The bow has no intelligence. A bow has no wisdom. It just submitted, surrendered by telling the archer, you are the archer, I am not. You are the potter, I am not. And everything else was victory. Now what happens here? The next verse. Verse 11. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. This is the Lord's leading in David's heart. Because David did not say, you know, option A, I don't stretch. Option B, Abishai, I sent you. Option C, Joab. If you send Joab, he'll kill for sure. He will get it done. He's a man of violence. But David did not say anything. David says, I know this is the way. But I don't know, I don't know about him. That is why David was called. God was happy with him. Because David understood, whatever happens is about me. Pointing to me. Let me focus on me first. That is why David escaped. Now David says, but I pray thee, take thou now spear that is in at his bolster and the cruse of water and let us go. So David says, I believe this is the right thing to do so. Take the spear and the water from the armor and take go. But remember, Saul gave David the whole armor when David was about to fight Goliath. And David said, no, this armor is not fit for me. I will use what the Lord gave me, a shepherd's back. And when David did that, God saw him, you passed the exam. The exam for David was not Goliath. The exam, the test that David passed on that day was actually Saul and Eliab. Goliath would be destroyed anyway. Because Samuel is still alive. The prophet of God is still alive. The anointing the Lord used to anoint with the horn of oil is still upon David and Saul both. Because of that, Goliath can never overcome the people of Israel. Not even in the dreams. But the Lord did not want the son of Jesse to fall. He overcame the battle by rejecting Eliab, by rejecting Saul. And that is why the wisdom of God stayed upon David. And that wisdom, what happened? Verse 12. David took the spear and cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they got them away. Now no man saw it or no one knew it. So far it's okay, right? But there must be a climax. There must be a reason, a spell, something the Lord cast so that this can be done. And what the Lord is, because a deep sleep, because they were neither awake or they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. This attitude has gone from today's land of God. When this attitude comes back, only then they will see the Savior. Now the enemies are marching around and everyone is fighting at full strength. Amen? But in this battle, the Lord simply let everyone to go sleep. And there was no battle. But rather, there was a stealing. David took something, ran away. Instead of taking the life of Saul, David took the belongings of Saul. Amen? Am I right? Water and spear. So now tell me what water represents and what spear represents. Spear always represents truth, the sphere of truth. Amen? And water can wash you, can give you something to stay alive, something to keep your soul alive. Truth, life. Saul lost it when he went against God's anointing and he inquired of false prophets. He lost it because Samuel said, your kingdom shall fall. Lost it. But David was also tested to lose the same manner. But the Lord allowed them to go to a deep sleep. If the Lord did not let them to go to a deep sleep, they will be awakened. If they are awakened, they would have killed David. If they kill David, Saul kills David. It should not happen. Because if you remember what happened to Daniel, the man who was clothed in linen standing upon the river water, on the right side one was standing, on the other side one was standing. They were typing Gabriel, Michael, or two witnesses, two anointed olive trees who agreed together in the will of the Father in heaven, like the two cherubims who cover the ark. Amen? When that agreement is gone, that means glory of the Lord leaves the tabernacle. Am I right? Whether there are two or more agree in my name, I shall dwell in the midst of them. Ark of the covenant, heavenly kingdom, all same, same pattern. And that is what Daniel witnessed. Am I witnessing what happened to Abraham? Oh yes. Father of nations received the same promise. Lord, two witnesses. Daniel, the man of wisdom, also witnessed the same thing. Man in cloth linen, two witnesses, two angels, two anointed olive trees. Now, David. If David kills Saul, if Saul kills David, then God's kingdom is over. And the Lord did not let it happen. He was doing his work. Even in the midst of their stupidity, he was doing his work. To remain faithful, truthful, that Solomon will be born. What is Solomon? The wisdom, who types wisdom, must be born in the kingdom of God, the Prince of Life. Amen? Now let's continue. Verse 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 6 first. Book of Corinthians addressed this in a more deeper way. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. So what does it mean? Fallen asleep. And this book is Book of Corinthians. So, the vessel of God types, there is a falling away that comes first, that's a different falling away. Those who forsake the faith, fall away from the truth in their own understanding, lose the banner of love, take their feet away from the foundation of truth and go outside the wall of fire. That is falling away. There comes a falling away first. Amen? Which is a sign of God's judgment is coming soon. But here, what the apostle is saying is, if you look at our life, when we began the journey as a child of God, we are learning. But there were many people with us in the beginning. But now you look back, where are they? The Lord took them, isn't it? Some fallen asleep. Because the Lord wanted them to escape from the evil to come. He showed mercy to them. But there are some remain to complete the job. To complete the task. The wall of Jericho was destroyed, but the ones who were compassing around are not the ones who left Egypt. Never forget that. Those who are compassing around, they are not the ones who left Egypt. Not all of them. Some gave their life along the way. They were all tempted to sins and rebellion. They fell. In their mistake, the Lord was still being faithful, truthful. He took the seeds out of them. They were giving birth to children in the wilderness. Do you hear me? The wilderness was still fruitful than the kingdom itself. Am I right? Now, some fallen asleep. Now let's see how we translate into a spiritual domain. Let's go to the same chapter, verse 20. Verse 20. 1 Corinthians verse 20, 50 verse 20. It says, but now is Christ risen from the dead, that is also typing sleep, and become the first fruits of them that slept. It is also typing sleep. But book of Romans talks about another sleep. We were walking asleep. That is, we are walking dead. I was alive, but I was asleep. So, physically going to sleep, that is pointing to death. Even in that death, there are two awakening. One, awakened to be judged to death forever. Come on, Lord. I'm already dead. Why are you waking me up? Asking me, are you okay? How much is this? 3? Oh, you have the consciousness. This is 4? Oh, you have the consciousness. You can count. Okay, good. Now, you are judged to death forever more. What is this? First death, second death. And the Lord says, no one can escape the second death. But some can. Can. Possible. All things are possible. The first death has no power. It is the second death that has the everlasting power. The Lord says, escape from second death. Be not afraid of men who will destroy your body, but be afraid of the one who will destroy your soul and body. So, they were sleeping in the dust, awakened, some put to shame, some put to everlasting life. So can we say, my job is done? It will be revealed when you are awakened. That awakening, we should have it today, spiritually. Am I spiritually awakened in light of the truth? Because there is one more awakening coming. Awakening in glory. Amen? Awakening in glory. But now we are awakened in discernment. The understanding of what's going on, who I am, what should I do? In joy, peace, content. Now let's see a few verses as I close. Same book of Corinthians, chapter 11. Let's read from verse 27. Because we are the body of Christ. Now let us see how the sleep comes into this like a snake. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, that is the family of God, drink this cup, the fellowship of God, unworthily, against the word of God, against the will of God, against the spirit of God, that is unworthy because he is worthy, shall be guilty of the body of the blood of the Lord. What is guilty? We talked about in the book of Isaiah. Guilty. Now, look at the next verse. But let the man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. But how will you examine if you are asleep? How would we all examine if we all go to sleep? Without discernment, can we examine what you will examine? Look at the next verse. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. What is damnation? Not from the Lord. When the one who went to sleep, death, when he is awakened, what he saw, what he did, what he had purposed will be manifested. That damnation is not from the Lord. It is from him who embraced it. He chose damnation over salvation. And the Lord says, be careful. The reason why the Lord descended into Sheol to preach the gospel to the souls, because they were not given a chance before and he gave them a chance. Do you hear me? 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 19. Now continue. By verse 30, for this cause, okay, many are weak and sickly among you, and many asleep. Now, what is this sickness? Not the physical affliction that we struggle with. That means nothing. It has no power. Do you know Daniel was sick for a long time? Anybody remembers? And do you know why he was sick? Because God gave him a vision. In the holiness of God, Daniel's body broke. His body broke, he became sick, and he was sick for some time. And the Lord said, it is okay. It's okay. It's worth it, man. It's okay. Daniel was sick because his flesh could not comprehend the wholeness of God. He fell sick. When anointing takes over you, your body will become weak. You won't be strong in spirit. Your body will become weak. But your spirit will be stronger than ever before. You will be wiser than ever before. And you will be more kind, more gentle, more compassionate than ever before. Because change is within, not outside. Amen. Last verse. He says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, and we should not be condemned with the world. Now look at this. Look at this sleep that writes book of Daniel 12 verse 1 to 3. Sleep, buried in the dust, awakened, some put to honor, life, peace, joy, everlasting kingdom. Some put to shame, contempt, everlasting. That doesn't mean that we will live forever. The death will be destroyed. And the Lord says, don't run after wickedness because I will destroy the wickedness. But run after me that you will escape from the destruction. The Lord is not destroying the flesh and soul. Amen. But he has to destroy the wickedness. Remember the pigs, the 300 pigs which received the legion, the demonic spirit from a single vessel who was possessed from one vessel. A legion of demonic spirits left and entered into the beast, and the beast fell into the sea and died, right? The same way death will be destroyed in the lake of fire. And the Lord says, it is meant for the beastly nature to be destroyed. You are made of my image, my likeness. Don't become like Nebuchadnezzar who became like a beast. But be like me who has made you in his image and likeness. Isn't it? If not, that wickedness will drag you to destruction if we don't circumcise ourselves to stand before Son of Man. Now let us all rise. We will continue next Sunday. And today we complete the sermon with the deliverance and understanding of King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel chapter 4 verse 34. Daniel 4 verse 34. Let's read and close the sermon. What happened to Nebuchadnezzar? Can we all say Nebuchadnezzar's life is doomed? That's all. Because he became like a beast for 7 years. Look at the way the Lord performed miraculously. Chapter 4 verse 34. And let us all read together. It's a blessed words from the mouth of the Gentile king. Daniel 4 verse 34. Let's read together. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can say in his hand or say unto him, what dost thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor, my brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom. An excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the honor of the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and whose that walk in pride he is able to abase. Let us pray. Our Lord, our God, your glory is the brightness of my temple. Your glory is the only light of all our household. Your glory is the only sign of life of this tabernacle, O Lord. And Lord, we pray, may you bless us that we always live a life that your glory is always standing in the midst of us, for we are your children. Help us, Lord, that we do not run after the beastly nature to live among the beasts, that is the ungodly counsel. But Lord, help us, Lord, that we remain as your beautiful creation who are made, formed, redeemed in thy likeness, in thy image, to be rooted in the word of God, by the life that is given by the Spirit of God. And Lord, I pray, may you bless us, O Lord, by the power of thy anointing, may you awaken us, O Lord. Let there be awakening in the name of Jesus Christ, that we are quickened, awakened in the light of glory of the Father in heaven, that we do, we speak, we live, we stand, we sit and we rest. We do everything for the glory of the Father in heaven. And we live a life that we stand, live and die with the family of God. For you lived and died for us. And Lord, we are no one to embrace righteousness, but we are the only children of God who can embrace the righteousness of the Holy One, who alone is wise, who alone is righteous, who alone is holy. Help us, Lord, that we will walk before thee and we become perfect and be ready for the day of redemption. In Jesus Christ's name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom.